So you're listening to the audio-only version right now. Could be SoundCloud, could be Spreaker, could be iTunes. Either you're on the road, you're traveling, you're blind, or you're not aware that there is so much more to see in the video version of this podcast. Not only do you get to see the guests, but all of the sketches, the cutaways, and there's some exclusive sketches over there for Mug Club members or people watching the YouTube live stream. We put in different ads for audio and for video, and we appreciate the support list, and we're growing leaps and bounds. We can only do that if you guys support by joining at lottowithcrowder.com/mugclub. $69 annually for students, veterans, or military, $99 for everyone else, and not only do you get the hand-etched mug, but it is what allows us to grow and become the network. So you're not only getting this, but you could be getting a dozen other shows, all of your favorites. We want to bring them under the same umbrella. We can't do it with YouTube and Google and the unholy alliance between Facebook and Apple and Twitter trying to squeeze us, and we appreciate the help. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Steven, I did 1 billion views while you were still in diapers. And no matter how much you train, I'll still eat you for lunch. Your pal, Chuck.
Hey, I like to box. Adrian!
Steven Crowder is a self-styled comedian.
How'd you get into my house?
Time to listen up, you silly liberal fruit bags.
Your show is huge.
It's huge. So we are officially announcing the Louder with Crowder Mug Club for our daily program time. People are aware of how corrupt the media is, and there's a void, and we are going to take it back.
You're listening to Talk Radio's Strangest Animal.
This is the waterboarding Christmas telethon, spectacular. And waterboarding has to be done just properly.
We're stopping. It's just not the water.
Drink, by the way, hashtag tonight is Crowder Hijack Shia. For the people that have loved and lost Captain John Lucas. And then I do have loved. And all of the Federation starships. Come cheer up my nights. Come cheer up my nights. Tis better to have loved. And well,
YouTube CEO, Susan Wojcicki.
You're an M&M. There's no point in wondering where your pockets are. Tasting smooth, creamy milk, chocolate center. You're an M&M. It's all right. There's no sense in wondering where your pockets are. Don't worry, they say hi.
Solid milk, chocolate
M&Ms. I love being on TV when you're an M&M.
And most importantly, the funny is on our side. We've been watching this.
YouTube dragged its feet before taking any action against conservative commentator Steven Crowder.
So then we did announce the monetization change that Steven Crowder was.
Box adpocalypse right now, which is trending.
Number four.
That's incredible. You
we'll be right back.
called the Justin Bieber with a heart murmur. Hey.
Oh, no.
Hey, girl. What?
baby.
Throwback.
Sleep right off the bat.
Wow.
I just had a physical yesterday where they were testing for a heart murmur.
Oh.
And they don't answer when you do a physical.
Whoa.
They just say, really? Hey, well, you were testing. I go, well, do I have it? I don't know. We're going to have to wait for the results. I'm like, you just listened to it.
Yeah. You know.
I'm not sure.
But they didn't hear it. Did you record it with the stethoscope? by the way, my half Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, is here.
Hey.
Quarter Black Garrett is here.
What's up?
Audio Wade is here. Gerald A. is here. What's the wine of the day?
We have Mount Veeder Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mount Veeder?
Vidal.
Vidal?
Veeder.
That's not a word.
It's
not a word. It's not a real thing. You're making things up.
Veeder.
I don't know why you are still around. Is Too Cute Man
no,
here? No, she's either. Not. Okay.
No, yes,
Black
not.
Exactly. Listen, guys, we really appreciate it. This is it's the 1 billion view special.
Yes.
Billion it's plays. I want to give a round of applause for all of you guys.
Oh,
everyone out.
Yes.
We have people
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not Gerald.
And
not Gerald.
I do want to ask you, we'll be showing some videos or I think some tweets going into the break from you guys, but I want to know, what's been your favorite moment with the show in the last billion plays, or how are you introduced to the show? I would like to know. We have some guests coming up. We're going to have Donald Trump Jr., Ted Cruz, Alex Jones, James O'Keefe, Mark Ruffalo,
so
Jocko, Gavin McInnes, John O'Hurley, Chael Sonnen, Dan Crenshaw, Jim Norton, Anthony Cumia, Andrew Klavan, Rand Paul, and Mahmoud Al-Mahmoud, Director of Public Relations for ISIS. So they'll all be calling in.
Still has a job.
Have a job. He's very good at it.
Yeah, he's working hard. He's harder than ever.
Showing us the softer side of ISIS.
I hear the resumes out, though.
And I know that, by the way, some of you will think this is lazy. Really, we've used the term clip show in the past.
Yeah,
that being said, we're going to have some clips here from our favorite moments, a few montages, and also kind of give you a little bit of some inside baseball. Oh, I didn't mention promo code.
Ooh,
that's right. There's a promo code right now. If you enter in Crowder Billion, I think for the next, I know at least for the next 48 hours, it might be a few days, you get $20 off if you join Mug Club.
It's a fantastic
Mug Club, which was never meant to be. Let me say something first really quickly. Garrett... Quarter Black Garrett and Audio Wade were the ones who said we should do this show. I kind of floated the idea. Yeah. I didn't really want to do the billion view show. We did the 1 million subscribers. And I said, that's enough of a benchmark. Maybe if we did hit 10 million subscribers at some point. I don't want to be the guy who rests on the laurels of how many people tune in or how popular something is. Well, because we've seen people do that. And then they crumble because all of their identity is based on this sort of perceived success.
Number,
And I just want to put my head down and get to work. But... you mentioned that it was more important not for us, but
it's for the fans.
It's for the fans.
It's for me. I'm a fan. You know, I want to see all the old stuff and remember. Oh yeah, we've come a long way.
And we abuse you both physically and mentally
all the time.
Yeah, and you're still a fan,
but within the bounds of the law.
Yes, within the bounds.
The key. You go right to the line.
It's Chinese law. I don't think they're bound by the Geneva Convention.
Yeah,
so
it's different. We do what we want.
Yeah, bamboo wood chips up the thumbnails. And I do. So I am really grateful. I do want to let you guys know. I really am so grateful that you've been here for a billion plays, that you've made this what it is. You know, you saw from that montage, started back in 2006 on YouTube, and then really doing regular uploads 2009 that were more political. I really never anticipated it I shouldn't say didn't anticipate it, but I had no idea that this show would become exactly what it is. I'm being that guy. Oh, I'm so grateful. But I'm like Taylor Swift. Oh my God.
You like me.
I won my 45th Grammy? What? No.
Yeah.
I should say, by the way, this is a billion what you guys will see publicly. We've actually crossed a billion a long time ago, but we had to remove a bunch of videos because of the Vox Edpocalypse fascist pricks.
Somewhere around a trillion, I think, now.
Well, actually, if you add up... those who are not Mug Club members, loudestcrowder.com/Mug Club. If you add up, because we do a daily show there, you know, so four times the content that you get here on YouTube, and then you add up the website and Crowder Bits, it's actually closer to 2 billion. But this is just this channel, a billion after all the videos had to be removed.
And still making no money on those billions right now?
Right now, it's plus or minus zero.
Zero, just making sure.
Just at or above.
It's a great business model,
by
the way.
To be clear, there's some volatility in the market.
So true,
due to certain components.
We don't try and pick monetization stocks. We play the long ball, and I assume that every 10 years, we zero our money.
That's not a good strategy.
Feel pretty good about it.
You might need a money manager.
But the good thing is, my finances are unaffected by Corona.
Oh, well, there you go.
There's some stability there. Invest in
the
silver.
Trade-off.
Mug Club. But in kind of talking, you know, let me kind of give you a little bit of a briefer for people who don't know. You know, I started off as a stand-up comedian and actor, and really my first foray into doing more political videos was 2009. I did work with PJTV, and then I was with Fox News for 4.5 years. And, you know, they didn't really, and God bless them, the person who's the president at Fox News now, Suzanne Scott, I have nothing but good things to say about her. She actually, back then, she was a VP, would go in and advocate for me.
Oh, nice.
Because all I knew when I was at Fox was that Roger Ailes hated me. He thought I was horribly unfunny.
Every time you rejected him.
Yeah.
But then I found out that he hated Norm MacDonald, so I took it as like a badge of honor. By proxy.
Good company.
No, he hated me for valid reasons. He hated Norm MacDonald because he was crazy. And Norm MacDonald didn't pass the twirl test. It wasn't the best.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
He has a good angle. He's always shot from the right. And Suzanne Scott was the one who went in and advocated for me. With Fox News, they didn't know what they wanted to do with me. They just knew they didn't want anyone else to have me. And so I wasn't super happy there. Like, I was being paid, and I'm very grateful for it. I was appearing a few times a week and writing articles. But I always wanted to be doing something like this. And so after that, this show that you're watching right now really just started off as a terrestrial radio show out of Detroit. And I went with them because I said, let me own 100% of the rights.
Yeah.
I didn't make a dime on terrestrial radio for a long time. It got syndicated out to a bunch of markets. And then we started learning how to operate a TriCaster and broadcasting from the den. And it just kept growing and growing and turned into, you know, what it is now. So I say this because sometimes you may have dreams, and if you're inflexible, you think you're giving up on them. This is so much better than anything I could have anticipated, and I am genuinely grateful to be able to do this. It's a very, very hard job. It's a lot of work. But I do feel blessed to be able to do this for you guys, and that you have rewarded us with a billion plays. And because think about it, a billion plays is worth nothing if not for the people watching it.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like a billion.
You scroll over it like on Facebook, and it counts as a play.
That's right. So, that's the amount of people with coronavirus.
That's not
soon
true.
Enough.
Almost
not
there.
True. You know
almost
what I'm talking
there.
About? You and your secret bioweapons facilities.
Click, but click. We have toilet paper, so apparently we're going to
we're
be
all
safe.
Yes, we'll have barter money.
And does anyone have, before we get into the cinematic opens, any of your kind of favorite stories as far as...
If I can jump in here, I know Bill might want
you can't
to.
Do it.
So, you know, a lot of people don't understand. Success was never guaranteed in this. And in fact, there were a lot of moments that you had throughout your career where you were like, I have no idea how this is going to go out. And I remember one specifically. I can laugh at it now, but I felt so horrible. We were having dinner, I think, or lunch, me, you, and Hillary, and we were talking about like, yeah, man, should I keep doing this? Should I not keep doing it? I was like, look, if you ever, maybe if your videos don't get like 85,000 plays, you should maybe pick another career. And you just like looked at me and you're like, 85,000 is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I remember. You were trying to lowball.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, 85,000.
Yeah. Oh, it was so funny. But, I mean, that at that point, you had no idea. Like, you had a desire for it and a passion for it, and you knew you could do something, but you had no idea how big it could possibly get, and you weren't assured of success.
No, but back then,
or
really,
money at all.
That's also something that I really love seeing, is now there are so many younger people who are conservative or leaning right. Back then, and that's also, we'll talk about our top seven plus one Loud with Crowder controversies over the years. See if you can guess which ones they are. But that's what allowed the Young Turks to go after me and really, you know, smear me back in the day when I had 30, 40,000 subscribers and they were big. We didn't have the ability, we didn't have the firepower to correct the record. So it was tough. There were no conservatives out there. It was when edgy atheism and liberalism dominated all of YouTube. It's amazing how things have changed. We don't know where we're going, but it really is. It's been a crazy ride when you think about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the funny stories that kind of the moment that it hit home about kind of the war that you've had to fight with some of the folks in traditional media was one time I was on vacation. We were doing a copyright battle with Mashable, and they were insisting on trying to take one of your videos down. And at a resort in Mexico trying to deal with it, and we ended up getting it resolved.
And keep in mind, for those who don't know, this was back then. It was a manual thing where Bill was actually filing paperwork to counter a false claim.
Right. We're like saying, hey, you're going to do this. You got to come sue us. And then we're contacting YouTube, and we're trying to fight through that system. And that was the moment that I really realized. I was in a hotel room at this resort in Mexico, and I was thinking to myself, what Steven's been saying about the war and like how this is going on. And, you know, I don't mean war in the sense of, you know, what our soldiers are doing and what our troops are doing, but I mean in the sense of the war for audience, for eyeballs and ears, and knowing that there is a place for comedy and conservative, you know.
Yeah, that's how we met, was actually a man who was a groomsman at my wedding. He's a Harvard lawyer, but I was like, hey, you're a lawyer. And actually, Ben Shapiro negotiated my Fox contract.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you have a good last name for a lawyer. And I remember our buddy, he said, well, this is not the kind of law I do, but you might want to call my buddy Bill. That was it Engadget?
Gizmodo. Gizmodo,
that's where the article came out that someone who worked at Facebook, long before the leaks with James O'Keefe in Project Veritas, someone just leaked this memo that was at Facebook that people were basically putting code into pages to throttle and shut down some pages. And it was Ted Cruz for President, Fox News, Breitbart, the Chris Kyle Foundation. And then me.
You're like, what?
I was like, I mean, they expect a Muppet to sing one of these things is not like the other. And, you know, and I was like, hey, I don't want to overblow this, but I sent it to Bill. And I remember I was at a hotel at that point.
Yeah.
And you just called back. You're like, yeah, this is not
good.
I'm reading this. It's not a conspiracy. It's right there.
And I remember looking at the other ones, and I'm like, I know all these other ones, but who is this guy? I
was
like,
that's what was so weird because we were targeted when we were so much smaller.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because we were always pretty effective with the content because we were unique and because you guys have been so supportive. I mean, we can't, you know, we'd love to do live shows. We don't have the ability to do them because you fill up every venue and it becomes a security issue. And we appreciate it. Like,
you
guys have been so supportive. Demonetized, you guys have made up for it with Mug Club, you know, and you guys have joined. And obviously now you have the entire Blaze catalog. And it's just every time that we think, oh, we're going off a cliff, the Vox adpocalypse, you guys came in and not only saved us, but supported us more than before.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I sound like a broken record, but I cannot thank you enough. Sometimes artists go out and say, like, I'm just going to do this for me. It's self-important. It's bullcrap. If I create art that is only of value to me, I am valueless. There is no use for what I do. I want to create content that is enlightening, entertaining for you. And we always try to listen to you guys. We really do appreciate it. And since we've grown, and I hope you guys have seen this directly since you've joined up at Mug Club, it's $69 for students, veterans, or military, just so you know, if some people are thinking it's a little bit steep. And right now, everyone gets $20 off. We've increased production value, and we've increased overall volume of content.
Yeah. Yes.
And so this brings us to our first montage. When we first started, you know, it was a radio show.
Yeah.
We would do these fake little audio commercials because it was a terrestrial radio show. We had 12 commercial breaks.
They're still good. Go back.
But I would sit down with at that point, Not Gay Jared, and just go, all right, here's an idea. The Swiss Family Robinson second generation. And I would do an audio sketch about a bunch of inbred kids. And we found out we violated the law horribly, but it was okay because only on podcasts we did the fake warnings. Like, and we'd do like Lena Dunham warnings, Velociraptor warnings. And I don't know who it was. Oh, called awesome. Me up, said, like, this is highly illegal. You know, so I'm like,
hey, don't do that.
It's on a podcast. It's an archive. Whoever thinks that's a live warning is an idiot. And they said, okay, but you should stop doing it. So we did stop doing it.
Right.
So we have these 12 commercial breaks we just have to fill because we do this for a podcast, and we didn't want you listening
longer.
To it. Come on down to Ann Arbor Ford, Ypsilanti Ford, where if we don't give you the best price, we're just going to give it to you. You know, something like
something
that.
Else.
You know,
that's
the stupidest ad campaign. I don't want to subject my listeners to that. So I'll do pedophile parodies of Michael Jackson classics. And we'll just put these into the commercial breaks. Jeez. And then after the controversy of Never Daily, which we'll get to 7+1 controversies, and you guys joined up at Mug Club, we realized a lot of these ideas that we had, we could now do.
Yeah.
And so we were able to do not only more on location videos, which are incredibly labor intensive, but these big intros that you guys have really come to appreciate and kind of expect, where sometimes there's some pressure, but it keeps us on our toes.
Yeah.
So this is actually before we'll come back with our 7+1 controversy throughout the history of Ladder with Crowder. Right now, I want you to enjoy a montage of throughout the years the best or your favorite that you tweeted me at S. Crowder, cinematic or TV parody opens. Who's the head honcho around here?
I am. Who are you?
Well, sir, my name is Stephen Crowder, and these here are the Mug Club Z's from Ladder with Crowder, late night comedy of salvation to salve the soul. And we hear you might have a platform for us to upload our videos to.
Well, that all depends. You boys do conservative videos?
I have a show in constant sorrow. It seems trouble on its day.
Here is the Bob Ross estate. He's using every illegal tactic in the book.
Hágale pues, hijo de putas.
Hit me.
I'm ordering fucking milk! Drink it, you sis scum!
These are my blood tumblers.
Back then it was mostly just me uploading short videos, me talking to my camera. Well, back then the Young Turks used to make quite a bit of sport of me. They teased me quite a bit.
It's bullshit.
How many subscribers you got on YouTube, son? When you crossed over that 1 million mark, you were beautiful.
They found a way to stop your content. Not a verb. But right when you hit that 3 million subscriber mark.
You'll never hit 4 million subscribers.
I will hit 4 million. I was always going to hit 4 million.
I see not funny people on cable television. They don't know they're not funny.
We were demonetized before that broadcast even went live. So what happens? Cenk Uygur gets direct support from YouTube, and what do I get? A one-way ticket to demonetization, Bill.
It's already been manually rejected for monetization.
There's no way they could review it that fast.
It seems that the YouTube algorithm has advanced beyond all comprehension.
Tell me you have some good news for
right now, Captain. They took out Gavin. Frigate, you got ambushed. Ben Shapiro's gone, and it gets worse.
It's not going to get any worse.
Over 600 videos on the channel. All of them restricted in less than 12 minutes. YouTube's new policies have been so secret. No email notifications had been sent.
Throughout my years, I've come to realize there are 7 words you cannot ever, ever say on YouTube. And these words, retard, chink, tranny, faggot, fag, fig, and Mexicans. Yes, today, those are the words.
And Mocha might be more necessary than ever because YouTube has become a liberal shithole.
Let me show you boys how a real lady does.
I hired myself a half-Asian lawyer.
Chino. Gordita. Come on, baby.
Some people think he's half Mexican, he's half Asian.
Ah! Thanks to our funding from Muck Club, those false plaintiffs have pulled their hard strikes again, right on time. To the second!
They always do. I fight them for you, and we win every time.
I hear you boys ordered a half-Asian ass-kicking.
Half-Asian lawyer Bill Richmond!
Half-Asian lawyer Bill Richmond.
I don't want no GoFundMes, I don't want no Patreons. There are too many damn whiny conservatives on this platform. $10,000 for me and my half-Asian lawyer Bill Richmond by ourselves.
We decide what gets heard or seen on YouTube. Our jihad is already won.
And there we go. Now, it's awesome. Not only a clip show. It's not only a clip show, but not there's some of that. No. You know,
yeah, a little.
Sometimes
yeah.
a billion views, you take a break.
you do that a little.
Gosh, oh gosh. You just look back and you're like, the volume of how many days and nights that we've worked on these.
Yeah.
These segments.
So what's your favorite of the montages, the intros that you've, I'm sorry, montage, the intros that we've done?
My favorite of the montages?
Yeah,
my
favorite of the montages.
Gosh, you know, it's tough to pick my favorite. Probably, it still goes back to Jaws, the first Jaws, because that was the first one we ever did.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what, I think I can work on this impression. And the green screening, the lighting was really good. We matched. I'm a big fan of matching tenor and tone. That was up there. Raging Bull and you know, the recent Saving Private Ryan was technically kind of a kind of a marvel.
Yeah.
So
it was very, very nice. I like it when Maddie dies in them. Any of those.
Wow.
When she blows up, gets shot in the head. I'm just kidding. Too cute, Maddie. I'm just kidding. Those are pretty.
And how many times did I ask you to put on an outfit where you said no?
You know,
intro?
What's funny is I tell people all the time, they're like, oh, wow, I can't believe you like did that on the show. Aren't you? Don't you like have another job? Or, and I said, yeah, for now. But no, I said, you know, it is funny, like the other things that are asked of me, and I'm just like, nope, not going to do that. I think we're at like 13, 27 times you've asked me to wear a dress, and I've said no.
Yeah, and I think
that wasn't even for
those,
that wasn't even for the show.
Player, man.
Right. No, that was just in general.
That was just like come to meetings.
A two-way mirror at TJ Maxx.
Yeah, I think that's why I ended up in a dress so many times is because he said no, and I
well, you ended up in a dress because you made such a big deal out of it.
I probably
so you did it, and you're like, I hate this.
I hate this freaking dress.
Guess what you're doing next week.
Yeah.
We just filmed another one. You know that, Gerald? We just film you bitching about wearing a dress.
Oh, you never actually put it in the show?
No, we never actually request it. Anytime you see Gerald in a dress, it's just our security cameras that we keep running.
Come on.
Then we add him in like a Tupac hologram
later on.
But this brings us so much work. Speaking of strolls down memory lane, I think this is time to actually go through the top 7+1 controversies that have happened here on Louder with Crowder. So let's go to it. 7+1.
You forgot the fan in the chamber.
All right, and let me know before you, you can pause it if it's an archive. Let me know which ones come to mind for you. I guess I'll kind of starting in chronological. Number 7 would be the Union incident in Lansing.
Yeah.
This was before show existed, but I was on Fox News, and I went down, and it was a right to work rally.
Right. Yeah.
And we were in a tent. There was this tent. It was AFP, and I was just there because, you know, there's somewhat safety in numbers.
Yeah.
And the guy there was this guy, you could smell whiskey on his breath, told everyone that I was the DeVos's grandson, like I'm related to the DeVos family, Betsy DeVos, because you know these leftists in Michigan, they hate the DeVos family despite the fact that they employ half the state, well above a living wage.
How darn you employ me!
Know, so he was trying to get everyone against me for a while, like he's the DeVos's grandson, get him, and then they started kicking down the tent where the right to work pro protesters were cutting in with box cutters. And this guy tripped over a tent peg, and I got just sucker punched. You guys have probably seen this. People often send it like on Twitter, like it bothers me. Like, I remember I was punched. You do realize I uploaded that. That's the only footage that you guys have is our upload. And the reason that was a controversy, though, was because the guy fell, got up, punched me, and then I just sort of walked away. And then the rumor started, and it was the Young Turks, I believe, who started it, that I had shoved him first.
Right.
Because, you know, when you shove a guy, he falls this way into you.
Exactly.
And the prosecuting, or whatever, the prosecuting attorney, I guess, in Lansing, never took, there was a deposition. I didn't know about it. I was never there. He met with the head of the unions in Michigan, did it without me, and said, it was pretty clear from the Young Turks footage. They didn't have footage. It was their commentary. It's pretty clear from the Young Turks footage that Steven started it, so I let the guy go.
Oh, my God.
Is that common for, like, a deposition like that, for me to not know, not be there, and my evidence to not even be accepted?
It's not common that you would have been there for it to happen. It is uncommon that they didn't come and ask you for it. It's clear that they were looking for an answer. They found one thing to support it, and they were just moving on.
And so this became a big thing. I remember
it was a huge thing. And the most frustrating part for me, just as your friend, because at that point, I don't think I was very involved with the show. I'd call in every once in a while. It was just like, I know Steven could have kicked that guy's ass without even thinking about it. Like, but you were in a mob of people.
Well, the thing is, you hear, if you go and if you watch it, and I think I have the B-roll, and you can't hear right now, there's a guy saying, I have a gun. I'll kill a motherfucker with a gun.
Yeah.
That's a guy saying it. That's a union guy. And I might be able to, maybe I can find some of this footage, but several of them followed me back to my car.
Yeah, I remember
after that.
You're like, look, you're just going to have to walk in front of me.
Yeah, that's right. I said, just walk in front of me.
Yeah.
And I think that was the guy who said, I'll kill a motherfucker with a gun.
Yeah.
So this just was before Antifa, before Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
I was the original,
prequel.
The knockout game, only I didn't go down. And then I ran scared because they said they were going to kill a motherfucker with a gun.
Yeah.
Referring to me, I believe.
Yeah, maybe.
I was the motherfucker in question.
Yes.
So that's number 7. That was the first time I ever had become sort of a national story to that
degree. Yeah. Yeah. And that's
Number 6. Do you remember this one there, Court of Black Garrett?
Yeah.
Wendy Davis at the Women's March.
You guys remember this?
The Women's March. Came
pretty great. Yeah.
That was before we became pals?
No. This is, I felt like it was a moment where you guys should have been pals.
Right. Yeah. Well, we were.
Kindred spirits.
We got an interview with Wendy Davis at the Women's March.
Which is awesome.
The reason why, you know why? We just had a producer go up and say, hey, will you give an interview? I'm busy. Yeah. She's trans. Yes, sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wendy Davis came out. And the reason I picked this, do you remember? Because Wendy Davis, Texas, they were grooming her for a national run.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Absolutely.
With her tennis shoes and the whole deal.
Yeah.
You
she
know?
Was going to be the next sort of like Elizabeth Warren or Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah. Who failed miserably in an electoral. Yeah.
Election. Right. But I think a big reason for it. So if you watch this, you can see this right now. It says that the Women's March only got an interview because I claimed to be transgender. And that's why we started using Stephanie undercover because realize I can do character. Anything, yeah. Yes. And no one will say a word.
You get a pass.
I can piss hot at a Planned Parenthood for pregnancy, and they're just like, well, congratulations! And that actually happened. You can go back and watch that video. By the way, if a man pees, tests positive for a pregnancy, as I did at Planned Parenthood, means you have testicular cancer.
Yeah. Yes.
But they didn't say that at Planned Parenthood. Like, right. Well, man, I don't know. Are you going to do a boy. Gender reveal? Yeah. But with Wendy Davis, there's a moment right here. Here, we'll play this right now where you can see it. If you see my hat blows off in the wind and my wig shifts. And I thought, this jig is up. This is done. No. And then she's just like, oh, I said, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. And she's like, that's okay. It happens to the best of us. I'm like, it does?
I put
it back on. And then she never won any sort of elected office again after that. Because I think that if she were to run for president or even some national office, I'm like, yeah, okay, well, we do see your record. We do see this pamphlet on the issues. Is this not you with a fake tranny at the Women's March with his wig and cap flying off discussing economics? I quote, economics, Miss Davis. And there were all these articles about it and how it was misleading. Yeah. And that was one where it's like, yes, it was.
Yeah, on purpose.
We'll own that one.
That is the purpose of Undercover. No question.
Oh, that's awesome, though, because you can put her in a corner. She can't do anything against you. Like, the whole wig could have come off. You could have started talking like a man again. And she'd just been like, I can't not believe you. Yeah. I have
if
to believe you.
If she questioned it, she would have been done.
Oh, yeah. There's just, they give you all kinds of cover if you just claim it. Because they say, well, you know what? You're a marginalized group. Okay, I guess that's fine. I can just go out and commit felonies.
There you go.
They're cute.
Whatever.
We don't have these numbers. Is this number five? Yes, right. This is number five. This was, and you were with, I was working with you at this point. This was Undercover Antifa.
Yeah.
And this was one where it actually led to the arrests of people.
It did.
Which is funny because the media coverage said no arrests were made.
Right.
Not only were arrests made, they were made based on the weapon that was handed to my producer on camera earlier that day. We went down. There was a Ben Shapiro show in Utah, for people who don't remember. And you didn't go with us, right?
No, it was before my time.
It was, had you worked intermittently with us, maybe?
That's right. I came and worked in before.
And then you came back.
Came back later.
And I know my dad went down with me because most people didn't want to go into this quagmire. Yeah. And obviously Not Gay Jared was with me. And we went down and they handed Not Gay Jared. We thought it would be funny. It was a goof.
It really was.
And then they hand him an ice pick. He's like,
this is not a goof.
A taser and a knife. I'm like, hold on. I'm going to get my sawed-off shotgun. He's like, And Jared has a jerry-rigged earpiece. It was an iPhone with like a headphone thing. So I hear is him going like, they're giving me knives. I'm in the car with my dad. Giving me knives. I'm like, what? And I'm sure if they heard his earpiece, they would just hear, did you just say they're giving you knives?
Oh my God.
And then he goes, they're going to get a sawed-off shotgun. They're going to get a sawed-off shotgun.
Bail.
And a K-bar. Did you just say K-bar? I'm like, he goes, you want me to stay? And we go, you have to get out of there, Jared. You have to get out of there. And then we share, I don't know. Okay, hold on. Hey, guys, I got to take a shit. He just left.
Which was not unusual for him.
No,
not at all. No.
And so then after that, we're thinking, I texted Ben Shapiro, well, thank you. And they were trying to stab me with a K-bar. I'm like, you're welcome.
just saved your life.
No, I did. Yeah. I told him, I said right away, hey, be careful. He came in the back way. And then we were dealing with the local police right there. So the local police said, what do you have? Do you have this footage? Yeah. We said, we had brought in our laptops.
Yeah.
There was local news there. And I said, hey, do you guys want this footage? Because I know you're covering the protest. Here is the action I was showing to them. Look, this is the actual footage. See, they're handing him a knife. They're handing him a taser. They're saying that they're going to get sawed off shot. This is on camera.
Yeah.
Every single local reporter turned it down. Had no interest. I said, by the way, this is legitimate. We're going into the police van right now to offload the footage. You can have the exclusive. And with Ben Shapiro that day was reporter from, what was his name there, Darren? Do we know the name of that reporter from 60 Minutes? The guy had a panic attack live on air. Someone remember the name of this guy? All right, someone will bring it up and give it to me afterwards. Anyways, national news. And he was looking at it, and we said, look, they're handing us a knife right here. They looked in a taser, and he goes like, okay. And then afterward, we saw them all go out and say, a largely peaceful protest.
Exactly.
Right. That night, the girl who handed us the taser, and we gave
that
it back to her, tased somebody with that weapon and was arrested.
My God.
And then we sent on the, because we got into their cryptic messaging app, we sent them us going like this, giving them the middle finger. And I swear to you, the girl who was arrested for using that taser was going, you better give my knife back, ass.
Are you serious?
I'm in jail. When I get out of this cell, I better have my knife waiting for me, or I'm going to sue.
Wait, give me my evidence back.
Good luck.
Yeah.
That's
when Antifa was basically, you know, peaceful. Everybody thought they were peaceful.
Everybody thought they were peaceful. You guys turned into undercover journalists there.
Yes. Yeah. And it wasn't just that he was going back to get a shotgun. It was, I have a fallback position.
Right.
If things go down, we can, like, fall back to my car. I have multiple guns there.
Right.
We're like, what?
It was like
peaceful protest?
It was like, was it in Patriot where you're running back and then the people... Or in Robin Hood, where then they come up from like the dirt trap. It's exactly. Like, surprise! Yeah. Only it's, you know, people in bandanas who are gender non-binary.
And the guy who turned the story down is, let's see, Dan Harris.
Dan Harris! What an asshole! Right?
Yeah, the 10% happier guy.
Yeah, meditation
and all that stuff.
And then that girl was arrested. And I was just, this was something to me, I learned, and the reason I picked these initially, the union issue and this, I learned really quickly that the media doesn't care about truth.
No.
They really, really don't. Yeah. Listen, you can argue, okay, some people on the far right are aggressive and then some people on the far left and they're fringe. But they weren't arguing that. Like I said, they were arguing Antifa as a peaceful organization. Like Vox, there was, and they're anti-fascist. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's a crime. It's a serious crime. Serious crimes were committed. People were arrested, and it was not a peep. So thank you guys so much, because we got tens of millions of plays on that, and it was covered. That never would have happened if not for Mug Club, because we would have never been able to afford going out there and bringing a crew, and certainly would have never been able to afford uploading this and having the staff to do it. Like, that's something that I think changed the view of Antifa. And we didn't go out and sort of champion our own cause, saying, hey, we're the ones who exposed Antifa, but it really was the first undercover sting that showcased them to be not only as violent as they were, but the top story was the fact that the media wanted it to not be a story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They don't want
anything. All right, this next one is very much, this is three?
Four. It's when Bob Ross.
This is the Bob Ross estate.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This is when we tested the retainer.
Yes, you did.
Bill Richmond. Now, audio, you were new here, but when did you start watching the show?
I think the first thing I ever saw was the undercover Muslim bakery.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was just me with an iPhone.
Yeah, it was. So I remember watching that and talking about the sting. Like, it was sort of like an undercover thing, but it was also funny. It was so, and talking about what we were talking about earlier, it was so different from anything else that I was seeing, because it was obviously like a right-wing video, but it was entertaining and felt like it felt like news, but it also was.
We weren't looking for a lawsuit.
Right.
We were looking
to
entertain people. Yeah. Like, hey, look at this. Like, I was very clear. I was like, hey, I don't think Muslims should have to bake a penis cake.
Right.
But you do.
Yeah.
That was the point of the video.
Yeah.
And I used to have, I appreciate that, because I used to have all these conservatives, and I think they approach you now with like, hey, you know what? You have a case here. You should sue. I'm like, first off, I'm not looking to sue. I'm looking to create content. Now, in the case of our show, let's say we're throttled, we're unfairly treated.
Different.
That's where, if you look at the options of being litigious, but we can't just go out looking for controversy and suing.
Right.
We always seek to create content.
Yeah.
And that was the Muslim.
And the hypocrisy was so funny.
Yeah.
Like,
it was especially at that point.
Pointing out that little culture. It was all about that bakery.
Yeah.
It was a perfect time to drop that.
I remember
just the balls. So
they were, and
the sheer balls
the Muslims were very friendly in saying no.
Really. You're right.
Yeah, can you bake a cake? Yeah. I'm like, and two men, and then they're holding hands? No.
No.
So did you see the Bob Ross, the original one? I don't think I did. Okay.
This is the greatest
video ever.
Well, this is a good example of, you know, we were doing a three-hour show. So this was back when it was a radio show. And it was bizarre. The first Bob Ross sketch, you can just see some B-roll here a little bit, and then you can go and watch these clips, and I'll actually toss to the final clip. So it was just an idea. This wasn't in the middle of a three-hour show. We didn't upload it as a clip, I don't think, for a while.
Yeah.
It was just, hey, let's do a Bob Ross. It might have been after Charlie Hebdo. I'm not sure. I might have just wanted to piss some people off. It had been a while.
It had been a while.
And so
I figured
I was due for a – I'm like – oh, that head is fatwa-less.
I was about to say, did your fatwa expire and you wanted to re-up or what?
And so we just did that. We threw it into the three-hour show where I was painting Bob Ross as Muhammad.
Yeah.
And we thought that was it. Well, that was not it.
That was definitely not it.
That blew up. Became very big. And then we did it a second time. I remember Nick DiPaolo was on that show. God love him. Nick DiPaolo, one of the funniest people on earth. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we had a thumbnail, and it's a picture of me, Nick DiPaolo, and the Muhammad painting.
Yeah.
And I just get a phone call. Sorry, the censor button today, but I get a phone call, ring, ring. I'm like, Nick DiPaolo. I remember I was driving in downtown Grand Rapids. I was going to a coffee place. What was the coffee place? I can't remember what it was. Madcap. And then I get another call from Nick DiPaolo. I'm like, oh, that's what, two calls. Maybe it's an emergency. I pick it up. Hello? Oh, yeah, do you f- mind. What? You know, I think, like, you're talented, you got balls, but you have me next. Are you kidding me? You have my picture right up there next to a painting of Muhammad? What, are you crazy? You're like, you gotta change it now.
Get me off.
I'm like, well, yeah, you know, you're no stranger to controversy. Yeah, but there's some context. That's just my face next to Muhammad. And I said, well, I can change it, but I'm not home. It's gonna take me a couple hours. He's like, get home. So that was the first one. Nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing on the legal side.
And then there was right. BuzzFeed Boldly painting in period blood.
Period.
Was a
yes,
video.
Right.
And this
BuzzFeed
was
Boldly.
Featured on YouTube front page.
Yeah. Oh.
And I think we spoke with some people at YouTube, and I think they did something that was also religious. It was something with Christ. It was like piss Christ, and I don't remember exactly what it was. So we said, well, okay, now this is happening. And we brought back Bob Ross to paint Muhammad in menstruation. And this was just because they had featured it from BuzzFeed Boldly. We said, let's add a different layer to this. And that was a problem.
It's always the layering that gets us in trouble.
The Muhammad layer.
Then, not long after this, we receive a letter. We receive an actual letter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them what the letter was. It was from... So
it was from the estate of Bob Ross,
right.
Who
Great.
Owns the rights to his likeness and his materials and whatnot. And they were upset over the painting and the sketch and the content
and
every minute and second of it. And they were very interested in... demanding that we take it down, and they listed out some legal arguments, which we responded to.
One of them was also that, as you know, is a flagrant disregard for Islamic law and customs.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. So it was that. There was a couple, you know, legal arguments about copyright and some other, you know, use of likeness and a few other things. So we wrote
which
back.
We knew we were in the clear on that.
Yeah, we knew we were good on that stuff. I mean, we knew, you know, there may have been some, you know, social mores that we were crossing, but certainly no legal lines.
But you knew that when you signed up for this, right? Anyway, like I was like, on the copyright front, we're fine, right?
Yeah,
he's
like,
you're fine, but you probably shouldn't paint Muhammad in period blood. I'm like, yeah, but doesn't matter. That's not your domain.
That's not the question for you, lawyer.
I can find any lawyer to tell me no. I want you to show me yes.
Okay. It's like the Jerry Maguire. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so we responded, you know, tore apart their arguments, you know, show why there was just no way it was going to happen. So they wrote back again, and they said, you know, just if you have any human decency, will you take it down? They gave up on the legal arguments. They gave up on the social more arguments.
But they were still pretty jerky because they were telling us we didn't have any decency.
Yes.
And that is why. So, and this is one of the times where I said, hey, half Asian Bill. And I think now, if I were to ask, you would dress up as Bob Ross now, because you dress up as Tattoo. Bob Ross is nothing.
Oh, right.
But at the time, it was the first request where I said, Bill, will you respond as Bob Ross? And he said, no. No, I don't.
No, I think I will always be happy to be Bob Ross.
Yeah.
what I'm painting is Bob Ross. That's a different
thing. Yeah, so that's
right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think one of my favorite conversations with Bill I've had is he's looking at a script that I wrote, and he's going through it silently, and then... I'm not going to lick my lips.
That was my only line. It was like, no, Bill,
that's
stand
a producer
there.
Note right there.
Yeah.
And then it was in like one change. It was like, stand, lick lips. I was like, nope.
Who am I, Drake?
Nope, not happening. Am I doing this? No, I'm not doing it.
But
you know, they wrote back, you know, we wrote back one in response to that last letter. They were like, please just like take it down. And in the kind of a snarkier part of the letter, I just said, if you've ever watched the show, you know we're not going to take it.
I remember there was one final communication where then we responded by video, and that is where it could be Half Asian Bill said he wouldn't dress up as Bob Ross, but I think it was more so that he didn't want to be involved in painting said legal representatives as Bob Ross eating from a pile of corn-infested shit.
Yes.
This is the moment I was like, this show, the greatest show of all time.
Along with Muhammad, we just tossed it in there, and here's actually a clip to the grand finale of the Bob Ross controversy.
Welcome back to The Joy of Painting. I'm Bob Ross. Now, painting can be used as more than just something that's beautiful to look at. It can be used to express oneself. Sometimes it can be used to express frustration, tranquility, or sometimes gratitude, as we'll be doing today, expressing gratitude in response to some passionate fan mail we've received. We have a lot of different viewers here at the Joy of Painting. Some viewers are policemen, some are firemen, and some are lawyers we'll be responding to today, who have talked about this show with great vigor that Bob Ross is in violation of copyright law. So we want to respond to them and make sure they know they're welcome on this program so you can grab your palette. Today we'll be working with a lot of browns. A lot of browns. The beauty of brown here is you can mix it with any color and it's a different brown. Become a beige or a taupe. For our passionate lawyer friend, we're gonna start by drawing a pile of shit. Just with little short strokes. There you go. It's a little, starts off as a molehill and turns into a mountain. Just a big old mountain of shit. And there we go. Just a valley of piping hot shit. We'll mix up some color, add some red in there. It'll make it a little bit more of a cocoa flavoring at that point. Give it some depth. And now we're gonna move into portrait mode and paint our lawyer friend who sent us the fan mail falsely notifying us of a violation of copyright. And there's our lawyer. Like a gazelle at a familiar watering hole, bending over on all fours to eat from our steaming hot pile of shit. Let's draw a few lawyers, I'm sure, with a firm. They have some lawyer friends. I'm still going with brown. You can use any color you like, taupe or sand. Depends on the diet. Here's another lawyer. And there you go, the lawyers who are sent out in droves on YouTube to flag as violations, eating from our firm but corn-infested pile of shit. Oh, there you go. Everyone's sharing. There's plenty of this pile of shit to go around for the entire firm. If you feel like there's not enough, you can wait your turn. There's plenty of room for you to eat at this big old mountain of shit. And there we go. Oh, that's lovely. And you know what? We're a big fan of traditions here at the Joy of Painting with Bob Ross, and they look like they could use a friend. So let's finish this up with a nice little portrait of Muhammad joining them and eating from this big old pile of shit. There he is, Muhammad, holiest of prophets, peace be upon him, with the team of false trademark flagging lawyers eating from a big pile of personally drawn shit. From me to you, I'm Bob Ross. Happy painting, and God bless you, my friend.
And we never heard from them again.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Nope.
Like I think I said, at that point,
we are
they knew
not
they
the
lost.
Sharks of YouTube, but we can be a puffer fish. In that,
that is true.
You bite us, spiky. You hurt your mouth, or even if you capture us and you kill us and you cook us up, we're going to poison you.
One way or the other.
Either way.
Unsafe, really.
It's all coming up, Crowder. Oh, nice. So, number three, and we can move this one, we don't really need to go through for that long. It was the ABC Disney Oscars right, stream yes. that was pulled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason this was pretty significant was because we'd been dealing with false copyright stuff a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what happened was we would have all these claims. We've never lost any of those hard claims. They've changed the system now, but back when they used to actually have to file a claim and you would manually counterfile, not a single one have we ever lost, okay, to be clear. But then they realized, sure, there's a two-week process, but then the video ultimately gets up. They realized they could hit us with live streams.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you lose those viewers, you never get them back.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this was the second or third year we were doing the Oscars. Yeah. It wasn't the first year.
Yeah. It was the second.
And it was ABC Disney, and they were waiting because it happened very quickly where the Oscar stream was taken down
yep. yeah.
right away. And I, the reason I bring this up is because obviously it got up later. We won this because we were in the right, but you don't get those viewers back, and so we were really upset. But so many of you, so many people in that moment, you joined up at Mug Club. You went right to the LottoCrowder.com/Mug Club
site.
It
was great.
And
it
then we had, really cool. I think we had live stream over at, did we at Mug Club or was it the Blaze? At that point, we didn't have live streaming, I don't think, at the Blaze.
No, we didn't. Right. It was still on Facebook, I believe.
It was on Facebook.
Then we went, then we went to Instagram,
just with my cell phone video.
Right, yeah.
And the amount of viewers was shocking. So not only did you watch, but once it was removed, you guys said, you know what, I'm going to sign up. So many people actually double signed up or renewed their subscriptions. Wow. For 3 years,
just
because they saw the foul play, and it was just something where we said, "Oh wow, okay, we really need to direct the supporters."
It was a moment that the fans and the people that are watching saw it in real time.
Yeah,
like, you know, they see us saying it later, or you know, like, "Oh, we got this taken down. We're losing monetization on these videos," and that's something that's kind of like in the ether almost to them,
right?
But they saw it in real time as they're watching our show, us get taken down. So I think it was a big moment.
I saw
moment.
It as the tip of the iceberg is where people are finally seeing what the problem is, and they actually had a moment to glimpse the entire iceberg.
Right.
Yeah. But not just the little part that they see when we talk about it here and asking for support for Mug Club, and the very best fans in those moments stepped up. And you know, every time we talk about Mug Club and what Mug Club does, like literally the show cannot happen.
We have no Patreon, we have no GoFundMe, because you see what they do with conservatives. We said we only want to be funded by you and a few select sponsors, which we'll get to in a minute. We've really only can I talk about the sponsors that have dropped us?
No, I
view that as a turning point too, because you know, people can use a gimmick like, oh, they're after us, man, you gotta support us, you're the only way. And I know that we tell them like, hey guys, like, this is the only way that this exists is if you are a part of Mug Club. That showed everybody. It showed them, just, you know, like you said, live, but it also gave them this feeling of like, oh my gosh, if they want to take conservative voices off of this platform, they can.
Yeah.
They can just do stuff like this to them. They'll just screw them somehow. They'll figure out a way, and so we've got to get around
And that. They really screwed the pooch with that one, because, you know, the big legal term you can tell, I guess, educate the audience, is whether the content is transformative.
Right. So the fair use question is, are you transforming the underlying copyrighted content? And there's a few other factors, and transformative being one of the bigger ones. And, of course, you know, over the you know, commenting on an event that's occurring.
And costumes and a set. And guests. Yeah. We added it up, I think it was like 12%. The actual Oscar stream was up for 12% of time.
Right.
It was so obvious.
Tiny percentage.
So, and then you guys got us back up and stronger than ever. Okay, this brings us to number two. This is one that many of you may have forgotten about because it happened a little while ago.
This was my favorite.
This might be my favorite one. Because there were also some internal issues that went on with there, where we had some other internal counsel who were saying that we shouldn't do this in the first place.
Yeah.
I will say this, Bill took my side, where he said, no, you can do this.
Absolutely. Really?
Yeah. So Shia LaBeouf.
He's like, no,
if you don't. Okay, number two, when we were sued by Shia LaBeouf. Context.
And Muhammad.
Hey, you know, you're bearing the lead here. We beat Shia LaBeouf in a lawsuit.
That's true.
Yeah.
So he did the "He will not divide us." You remember, after Donald Trump became president, just, "He will not divide us. He will not divide us." And so he set up this camera in a public space in New York, outside of some kind of art museum. But it was out in a public space where anyone could go and say, "He will not divide us." Yeah. And so we're like, okay, so this is up there. This is a stream that's up there. Not many people were watching it, but it was, you know, making some headlines. And so I said, hey, I have an idea. How about we go to New York and we broadcast our entire show from Shia LaBeouf's stream? And here's the thing. This is one thing I will say again with Mug Club and what you guys do that support us. Anyone could just go there and go, Shia LaBeouf sucks, blah, 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 blah. That doesn't help anybody, right? And this is what a lot of conservatives do. They ask you for money on Patreon or on a GoFundMe, and then they just go out and say something incendiary. No, we said, how can we actually, it started with, we wanted to build the entire set, bring it out and set up.
Right.
And then I think legally we said that would actually be impeding traffic in a public space.
Yep. Might be a fire hazard.
So this is why I love Half Asian Bill, because he said, that's probably a no, but what if? And so what we did was we created these sort of almost like a snare drum soundboard.
It's like a cigarette lady.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like a cigarette lady.
Yeah.
And a desk with a microphone and mugs. And we went there to Shia LaBeouf's live stream and broadcast our entire show. And also, God love him, Dean Cain was there to fill in host for Good Morning America.
That's right. He
stayed an extra day so that while we were doing the He Will Not Divide Us live stream, and now we start having fans flooding in, right?
Yeah.
And security and officers going, what's going on here? We have Dean Cain walking, like, hey, Dean Cain! And we have Dean Cain on Shia LaBeouf's He Will Not Divide Us live stream. And a side note from Dean Cain.
So good.
Dean Cain is the kind of guy who makes you very sad, because he has everything. He's very very good looking. He's very smart. And when you spend time with him, you realize he's actually really quick and kind of acid. He's an acid tongued Asian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He, at one point, I just remember this. I have a necklace mug and microphone, and we're in a Mexican restaurant. It's right around the corner from You Will Not Divide Us. And I'm getting ready, and Dean Cain is sitting there with me, and he's eating. He has an entire bowl of guacamole. He's on a second bowl of guacamole.
Wow.
And a big-ass margarita. It looks like pink with salt around the rim. And I'm trying, you know, before the show, I'm focusing on a million different things. I'm like, I'm about to go out. I'm going to get my ass kicked by Shia LaBeouf. And so, I mean, you know, like, body shots. Just do the pullback.
There you go.
And I go, oh, wait, sorry. I go, I'm sorry, Dean, I'm sorry. I didn't realize no one's here with you at the restaurant because you're going to be here for 20 minutes when we start the show. Do you need any help? Do you need anything? And he goes, no. Really? Are you sure? He goes, yeah. You know what? I'm sure. And he takes a nacho, guacamole, a sip of a margarita. He goes, because I'm a grown-ass f***ing man.
Oh, yeah. Love the King.
This is my life.
Do you remember in the beginning of the live stream when you were doing it, there were actually some people who were not fans of the show, didn't know the show, came right up, and you were giving them mugs, and
we did that the day before.
Oh, yeah, that was the day before.
The day before, we gave them mugs with hot chocolate.
Yeah. These are actually really good. It's amazing.
Yeah, we went down there, we gave them mugs full of coffee and hot chocolate, and so all these people are on Shia LaBeouf's stream going like, yeah, shout out to Louder with Crowded Guys that gave us this coffee. And, Mug Club, you guys should join.
And you know he's just so pissed that you did this, right?
He got pissed, and right away they basically came after us to sue us. It was LaBeouf, Ronco, Turner, I think was the firm or whatever, and it was, I think, the lesser LaBeouf, it's Ronco, other, Turner. It was Ronco.
Yeah, it's the other creators. They, you know, they're each sharing the alleged copyright.
So. And he was threatening to sue.
Yeah.
And of course, we argued that it was transformative, but the reason he was really upset was because it was the highest viewed portion ever of the He Will Not Divide Us live stream. They saw a spike. They're like, jealous. We gotta put a stop to this.
Yeah.
And then after that, that's what spurred, they moved the He Will Not Divide Us to other places, and all of these people on Reddit, and I guess back then 4chan, would triangulate where they set up the new camera, and it just became a game of taking it down.
Yeah. Yes, it was like capture the flag.
Great. Yeah. So it was it was good. So, you know, we were sued by Shia LaBeouf, his guys, and we won. Number one, and we have a plus one, but number one should be no surprise to anyone, and this is really in the last this last year. The number one controversy that we've had here at Loud with Crowder is, the Vox adpocalypse.
Boom.
Yeah.
And I think, and I want to get all of your thoughts on this here, and I want you to let me know where you were, what you remember from the Vox adpocalypse. I mean, we had talked a lot about being demonetized. Most of our videos had been demonetized. We'd been throttled where our videos weren't showing up in subscriber feeds.
It was like 90%
feeds.
Of videos.
Right. But that being said, we didn't have this kind of a consequence ever before. And it all of a sudden burst out, this highlight reel, this hit reel on me. I remember the Hodge twins saying that they were like, I was seeing you and your dad, you were on Don Lemon's show going, quick, 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 quick. And Don Lemon's saying, disgusting. this actually, the reason this is the biggest controversy is not only because you guys stepped up and again supported us to a degree that we had never seen up until then.
Insane.
But this changed policy for YouTube.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Because we did not violate the policies, which, by the way, New York Times, we're looking for that retraction. We coming for you. We didn't violate any policy at all, but people were so mad, and people really weren't mad. It was a leftist hate mob trying to go after us. They demonetized us, and even though most of our videos didn't run afoul of demonetization. And I will tell you this, I've talked about this kind of on air, but not so much. When YouTube called after this was going on, the highlight reel, and it was trending everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And I was on the phone. Half Asian Bill was not with me. You were somewhere else, and they were reading a statement. Remember?
Yep.
It was these people from YouTube, faceless, nameless. They didn't give names. We had no idea who they were.
Well, just to be clarified, we asked for their names, and they said they felt uncomfortable even identifying who they were, these people giving the message.
Yes. Yeah. And they started reading a statement, and the first portion of the statement read like they were going to remove our channel from YouTube.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being, we're just going to demonetize you. And I was like, all right. We're not making that much money from you guys anyway.
Right.
But at first, for about a good 23 seconds, I thought, oh, no. They're
going
to have to switch because these angry gay folks at Vox are trying to manipulate policy. And I remember the room started spinning, and my knees went out, and I thought I was having a heart attack.
Really?
I remember I thought I was having it. Turns out it was like a, I don't even think it was a panic attack. I don't know what I've sort of had panic issues before in the past, but this was actually, I just felt like I couldn't breathe and the room was spinning.
Yeah.
And I fell back and I remember thinking just, oh my gosh, everyone who works for us, what are we going to do at this point? Because we hadn't really been super public about it. We hadn't fought back yet. Right. Yeah. This is before we had done the apology video. So I was thinking if they just remove our channel, then it goes away in the dark. You know, we wanted this to be a firefight in public. And then when they said, okay, you're just demonetized. I mean, that was, for me, was a relief. Like, woo, okay, good. Right, you know, good. Like I just, like the money, Snickers commercial where someone put just shoved one in my mouth, which, by the way, don't do if someone's having a seizure. Do not shove a Snickers in his mouth if he's having a seizure. And remember, we came back in, and I came back into the room. I don't think you guys knew how rattled I was, and I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And we did the apology video that was 16 minutes of insulting everybody. It was going through all of our worst bits, all of our most offensive jokes, and we even threw some new ones in there for good measure.
Just in case. Yeah, we just wanted to be careful.
And you guys joined up so much to the point where when YouTube spoke with us afterwards, going, do you use YouTube memberships? We said, no, we don't.
I do like, you know, Vice News. They reported that the whole thing just made the show stronger.
Yes. Oh, they were furious about
that
it.
That was their conclusion.
It absolutely did. Yeah, it made it a whole lot stronger. We had more subscribers than ever. You guys signed up. And by the way, there could be another Vox Edpocalypse, but this is what really stood out to me. This was the first time that someone had done an all-out assault. Make no mistake, this was something that was a long time in the making.
Yeah.
From Vox and Media Matters.
Poorly produced.
They pulled all of the worst things they could pull.
Yeah.
Everyone, the Young Turks, New York Times, I don't know if it was Samantha Bee, some of the late night hosts, they all wanted to make me out to be this monster, which, like I said, it sent more people to our show. This was the first show that had that happen, and we won. And we weren't deplatformed. Yeah. And I will say this, there have been unjust deplatformings that we've gone in, and we can't do it for everybody, but we all, general rule is, unless someone is breaking the law, they shouldn't be deplatformed, okay?
Right, yeah.
But it was one of those things where I forgot what I was about to say. But go ahead.
Well, I think this was probably for me because I was on the outside. Because a lot of people don't know I don't stay around the studios all day. I come in for the shows. We do prep and some stuff. Yeah. I was on the outside looking in, and I was really concerned because I started seeing stuff happening on Twitter before I got a chance to talk to you guys. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's really going after us. And I wasn't worried that he was upset. I was worried that everybody seemed to be kind of like, this is a bad, big players were coming around him. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like a concerted effort to try to take the show down.
And not to mention that Vox was invested in by NBC Universal, which is one of the biggest media conglomerates ever.
And they're the ones who put on the Recode conference where Susan Wojcicki was talking about it.
Right.
And they were right behind her. They were framing it as though we violated. Yeah. They consistently tried to frame it as though we had violated policies. Yeah. And even Susan Wojcicki, to her credit, was like, they didn't violate policies, but it's borderline. And I hate the fact, obviously, we weren't looking to change policy so that more content is borderline and a lot of non-political channels were affected. But not only did our audience come to our defense, but also the entire YouTube community and people who hate me, rightfully so.
Yeah, I saw a ton of people that were like, I'm not even political. I don't watch political stuff, but I'm going to go become a mug clubber because this is messed up. Like, this is not right.
I thought that the really exciting thing is that essentially, YouTube couldn't operate under a cover of darkness anymore with regards to their policy and how they were doing things. So the whole result of it was that people got to see more of what was actually happening, again, kind of seeing the whole iceberg. But then the other part was the number of times I've run into people or like we were at the A&M show and they said the turning point for them and understanding and like actually checking out the content was saying, okay, I saw the clip video. I've seen some of the tweets and the stories. I'm going to go watch this for myself. Yeah. These are thinking young adults, teenagers, older adults who are all saying, I was like, I'm going to go check and see whether the news I'm being told is correct. So they went and watched the videos and came away thinking, I'm shocked I'm not already a subscriber.
Right.
And they signed up for Mug Club.
Well, I think three main points, actually, that I wanted to touch on. One was I'm actually really grateful because they've already done their legwork in trying to find the best. So it's all out there. Yeah. Just go watch the Vox highlight reel.
There you go.
That's done. The worst to me, baby, until the apology video, which was, of course, worse.
Which was insanely
so
funny.
So they did the highlight reel, right? And that that sent more people to us at this point. And I think something that did save us with YouTube is word, kind of two things that you'll hear if you work in this industry. One is that we work harder than every other program out there. Everyone here works really hard. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily the most talented or gifted person, but I will say that it's pretty known that I work hard and everyone on this team works hard. Yeah, we all expect to work hard. Another thing is people know that we have more subscribers than any other exclusive pay over the top
service out there, period.
Yeah.
It's well known that Mug Club is the biggest, period. Outside of pornography in the early aughts, you guys have signed up en masse to the point where if YouTube were to have removed us, still many tens of thousands of views would be on our response on Mug Club, and that would look even worse.
Yeah.
So I think that forced the hand a little bit where they were like, ooh, you know, if we remove this, this isn't someone who's just going to go away with a few hundred people who are doing a Patreon. These are a lot of people who are going to be mobilizing. And I think the reason that we weren't deplatformed was, and it wasn't just because of us trying to refuse to apologize. I apologize all the time when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But we didn't, we knew that we weren't wrong. And because of your support, we knew we had to do right by you and stand fast and stand by our principles. And so the apology video, rather than a lot of people who either apologize in a soft way or kind of make it about, please don't remove us, we did the apology video, which was, okay, here you go. It's only going to get worse. And no one had
that's
done
what
that.
I love about this show.
Yeah. And what they missed is that said Vox guy's videos were so horrible, and that's what we were commenting on in the entire thing, and it just kept coming back up.
It wasn't even the
gold.
Vox guy. We did plenty of rebuttals. That saved us. We did rebuttals to Vox where it didn't involve this guy.
No.
Yeah. Right.
He was
the
incidental.
Videos that were coming out were so bad that we were just we had to respond to them.
Yep. Okay, and then that's the top seven. Then there's a plus one. This is one I will personally, speaking of which, personally apologize for because I lied to you. Now, is this B-roll or is there a clip that we're throwing?
A clip.
Okay. How long is a clip?
It's 2 minutes.
Oh, it's two minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
So this controversy here, I will, by the way, hit the notification bell if you're watching on YouTube, because apparently, you know, subscriptions don't mean a whole lot right now. Hit all notifications. And this is a good time to tell you Crowder Bits is a channel where we upload other content, sketches, all that kind of stuff. And, of course, iTunes. I guess that's Apple Play now.
Podcast.
And Mug Club is the main thing. But I lied to you guys for years.
Yeah.
Years. I used you and abused you when I told you that we were, and we hashtag never daily, that we were never going to go daily with this show. And I did so, and I would say that our exploratory committee was definitely never going to allow us to go daily. Full disclosure, I apologize. I was doing that all along, planning on going daily. And you deserve better. But you didn't get it. You got daily instead. And that's also something that a lot of people don't know if you're not a member of Mug Club. You only get a clip on YouTube, but people at Mug Club, they get Ash Wednesday. They get all kinds of stuff. So this is the timeline of the Never Daily.
Yeah.
Okay, I apologize for this. I did it. I was wrong. I'm
you
a work
wrong.
In progress.
Proudly introducing the Mug Club.
Lauder with Crowder has gone daily. We are two wild and overrated sketch artists.
Here we go.
Ah, shit.
Your screen's not frozen. I just wanted to mess with you guys. You'll notice it's very different. There's no standard intro for today's show. That's because this is the first installment of a bi-weekly every other week? I don't know if I'm taking your questions. My girlfriend is nine... My girlfriend of 9 months. Thanks.
Oh,
thanks a lot for the small font, Johnny boy. I hope you saved a hell of a lot of ink ass.
Looking for dead people. Jeez.
Wow.
Where? They sent a 14-year-old. This is Faces of Death.
Is this Nazi Germany?
Oh my God!
She's forgiven her husband after he hired a hitman to kill her.
So she's bad at picking out husbands. He's really bad at picking out assassins.
Yeah.
We don't want to be this. You made us this. Let's just make this and enjoy it. Well, just sit back and talk. Back kind of harkens back to the radio days, which is when you started following Quarter Black, Garrett. Everybody, go blow it and jump.
Don't blow smoke at me, you little bastards. I'm going to smell
it. Whoa!
Dumpster fire!
Shooter! Every joke that makes the show, every bit, we probably what would you say we write, Quarter Black?
Four, five, six get cut like every day.
Yes,
this definitely has a Courtney flair to
this
it, right?
This is not going on YouTube. It would be immediately demonetized. Yeah. Let's have Griff read number six pitched Jeffrey Epstein vehicles. Number six.
I can't read.
Son of a bitch, Griff! Hey,
Hey, you know what? I'm actually going to make the first Thursday ever Ash Wednesday.
Oh, oh no, man.
What?
Yeah, look at this.
That's exciting.
I like it.
It looks like a nice cigar, too.
Is that no, it doesn't. It looks celebratory. Like poop.
Is that the one that had the electrical tape as a band?
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Someone else carry the mic here while I can get this going.
What's going on? Go, Bill.
So, I, for people who don't haven't subscribed to Mug Club yet, you're terrible. But second,
we love you anyway.
The fun thing about the Ash Wednesday,
says Mr. Coronavirus.
Right? Hey, yeah. Hey.
Mr.
Hey,
A2 hey. Receptor's genetic proclivity toward hey, pandemics.
If yeah. Trump wants to have another trade war with China, we will keep bringing the coronavirus.
Oh, wow. That's
what
response.
They bring to the table. So the thing I love most about the stuff that's behind the paywall and what's in Mug Club and it's available is we get a lot more in depth. We talk about a lot of different topics. We're really engaging with a lot of different fan questions and comments and stuff like that. And you really get to see another side of everything that's done here more of what a lot of people like about what they see on YouTube.
Right.
But like I said, we can't do any of the rest of it without Mug Club.
Right. So. Yeah, exactly. No, and I tossed that thing that it was going to be a timeline of the Never Daily, but we told you we were never going daily for a long time. And I will say this, the reason why, all joking aside, was because we knew that at the time we didn't have the capacity to do a daily show.
Yeah.
And so we launched on election night when we were going daily. That's right. You were with me. That was a long, long night.
That was
a long 18-hour drive across the country afterwards.
It was, yes.
where we knew that if we had enough sign-ups, and that was actually a bit of a risk, because we said, okay, if we announce that we're going daily, maybe enough people will sign up where we can afford the resources we need to go daily. Yeah. And we hit that number within the first, 4 hours of election night.
Yeah.
And again, I own 100% of this. And, you know, we worked with CRTV. Now we have a partnership with The Blaze where you get access to all their catalog. And, of course, they help handle this back end. These apps that now work really well, The Blaze app, is just stuff that we were never able to afford. So we've been able to do this without having to take money from Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
Though it was offered many times.
They've never taken outside money.
Yeah.
That's something people don't understand either. It's you, and then we have partnership agreements, where we either give a percentage or get a percentage from some other folks. Okay, so we do have to go on a lot of memory lanes to stroll down.
Yeah.
How many memory lanes are there in the United States?
It's got to be at least one.
I think there's more than Main Street.
10, maybe 12. Mm. Yeah, who knows?
Okay, Mr.
Can't
Bird Flu.
So,
it's something avian. That's relatively new. We've done quite SARS. A few of these, and actually we'll be releasing the album soon at The
Everybody's
Blaze. And I don't know if it's going to be at Spotify or wherever, but
I would so buy that.
We've done enough musical parodies. We started off where we would do them every now and then, just intermittently. Sometimes they'd be on a Thursday show. Sometimes they'd be on a Monday or Tuesday show behind the paywall, Mug Club. Mm-hmm. And I know I say Mug Club, I need to say it because you haven't seen it, but I'm talking about this content.
Right.
Yeah. And then, actually, we started doing more of them when Audio Wade came in, because Audio Wade
so
is
talented.
A skilled singer and also able to produce some music.
Yeah.
And so before that, I would have to write all the lyrics and then send off to this other guy who's unbelievable, but he's abroad, he's remote, and so it would take a long time. So we started doing more of these musical parodies, and we hear you, we appreciate you, we are always trying to do more of them, but again, some of these music videos take a lot of production
value.
So before we go, what's your favorite track that we've done as far as music?
What was the one we did in the montage earlier, where I'm in the back playing the guitar?
Is it Dr.
Oh, Brother,
Trump?
Where Art Thou?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Mine was Dr. Trump, just because the costumes were outrageous.
That one was fun.
The lyrics were awesome.
That one was pretty fun.
So that was
and we
good.
Shot that here at the new studio
before it was
a studio. We need a warehouse. Wait, we have a warehouse.
We have one.
Because until we get new Mug Club subscribers, we can't afford to furnish it. Audio Wade, you're the music guy.
I think Nirvana is my favorite one.
That's pretty good.
It smells like
Two
Spirit.
I like that one. And I do like, a long time ago, because it was kind of raw, I like the Rocket Man Kim Jong-un, just because
that was awesome.
Just because of Gerald A. as Dennis Rodman. Rodman. He looks so much like a white Dennis Rodman that we had you back on the show as Dennis Rodman. I wrote it into the show. I'm like, I don't know what this. I don't know how we get there, but it ends with Gerald A. as Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I get to the studio and they're like, you have a costume. I'm like, what? I have a what?
Okay,
I've got a correction. My favorite one is Audio Wade in Got an Itch Girl.
That one's pretty good.
I probably watched it 50 times.
Yeah.
I mean, also, you got Quarter Black with his swivel hips over there.
Of course. It's unbelievable. He steals the show with those hips.
I just forgot about that.
Unfortunately,
Father Mother.
His hips.
Oh, yeah, Father Mother.
That was awesome.
His hips are mostly straightforward, but occasionally they fib. So, this is, I hope you enjoy. Let us know what other musical parodies you would like to see. This is an episode where we want to hear from you. We want your feedback, and we want to see your comments, because that will help dictate the direction of the show. Let us know. Here are our favorite musical parodies.
Crazy piece of abortion barn, business started getting hard, Mexico City policy. welcome to A2 City. I said, welcome to A2 City. Every place, everywhere we go. Yeah, they want to try to ban our show. They call me
Dr. Trump.
They call me Dr. Trump. To you, knock knock, open up the door, it's me, back with non-stop laughter that'll make you pee. Ain't hard writing jokes about it, with trannies and anti-fart trigger motherfuckers wondering, damn, did he say it? Yeah, right, and I'll say it again, got a half Asian lawyer, so I got to win.
And there we go.
Yes,
nice. You would think I was the one who was quarter black. No,
that was pretty good.
This one. It's nice. This one, and you just thought he was Mexican. All right, we are going to have to go actually to a commercial break really quickly. And before I should have said, this is where we're going to have our guests.
Ooh,
our guests have either sent in a video or will call in here, and I think we'll actually have some videos from you before we go into our favorite commercials. We should mention our sponsors. Of course, Walther is a wonderful sponsor. They've been with us for a long time. And
fantastic.
Black Rifle Coffee. Unbelievable. I think ExpressVPN is more recent, and Bill didn't want me to say it, but a long time ago got dropped by Audible, so screw those guys. He wasn't involved, and we were dropped so quickly.
Man,
it was 1 week.
They were like, he actually does what?
It's job security, okay.
Yes.
There you go.
True, yeah.
So enjoy the commercials, and here are some guests.
Open your mind. Let us begin.
Our world is increasingly ruled by technology. Information moves faster than the speed of light. But how do you know that you and your personal information are safe? That's why you should protect yourself with the latest in cybersecurity technology, a sticky note. Are you worried that it might leave you open to hackers, spies, geo-blocks, IP detection, ad targeting, NSA habit tracking, traffic logs, third-party microphone access, and theft of your personal data? We've got you covered with a sticky note. And if you're concerned about all that other stuff, there's always ExpressVPN.
Steven, congratulations on an incredible milestone. When I first heard about it, I figured it was maybe 1,000 episodes, something like that. But 1 billion views, that's the real deal, man.
I'm surprised that they're still allowing you on the platform, frankly. Well, it just goes to show you what you can achieve with a little bit of effort, ingenuity, and a small rent-free space in your parents' basement. I suppose we all need our hobbies.
Steven! Mahmoud here from ISIS headquarters to wish you congratulations on your 1 billionth murder.
What do you mean, view?
It kind of reminds me of an adage in the business, which is, if you never leave the stage, eventually somebody will clap just so you go.
Congratulations on getting 1 billion downloads or views or whatever. A grown man having your daddy call people to congratulate you and tell you good job.
Congratulations on what I hear is 1 billion people that are now watching your steaming program, Crowder on Chowder. That's quite an achievement.
Well, the coffee is delicious, but you should still keep your eyes on the road. Really happy to announce our latest sponsor, Black Rifle Coffee. And the company does more than just coffee, by the way. They're veteran-owned and operated, and they actually still actively serve those in the veteran community today. So all of November, for every bag or box of coffee rounds that you purchase, Black Rifle Coffee will donate another bag to active deployed members of our armed services. And something else, unlike other companies who claim small batch or premium coffee, Black Rifle Coffee isn't roasted until after you place your order, which is really important. A lot of Irish people don't know this. Coffee is a bean. And like other beans and legumes, I'm not exactly sure what that is, a legume, but it goes bad. Right? So if you've been drinking stale coffee, taste the difference for yourself and support a company that has the best product out there and does a lot of good work. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/Crowder. And if you enter Crowder as a discount code, you'll receive 20% off your first order. Blackriflecoffee.com/Crowder. Almost got it.
But now you've been loud to over a billion listeners. This is crazy, my friend. But you know what? You are telling the truth, and the truth will set this country free. Congratulations, up to 2 billion. Woo woo.
Congratulations from the Woolliford family. Keep up the good work and keep defending our rights.
But I guess a billion is good. I mean, it means quality. All you need to do is look at a McDonald's sign to realize that a billion is the number you're aiming for. But I'm happy for you. I mean, I'd be happier if it was my channel that had a billion views, but I'm happy for you because you have me on your show.
Well, from everyone here at Walther Arms, to everybody there at Louder with Crowder, congratulations on 1 billion views.
Your 1 billionth view. And I just want to say, truly, from the bottom of my heart, this is a sign of the end of days. I believe this is actually in the Bible. You were mentioned by name.
Tell me, what does that magnificent hand-etched mug do?
That, unfortunately, is Mug Club, the current ire of our existence and the objective of your next mission. See, Mug Club has been spreading truth, entertainment, and encouraging the American way. Furthermore, even more alarmingly, they've been able to bypass our assistance from the YouTube census, able to reach, communicate with their listeners directly. Your objective will be to find who is at the center of this Mug Club. Extract any information by any means necessary and destroy it.
Stephen, congrats on 1 billion views. Just to be clear, that's not even a fraction of the world population, so it's...
Stephen Crowder, congratulations on passing over a billion views despite shadow banning, censorship, and all the attacks you've gone through. But I am here to criticize you. It's not a good thing to joke around and have humor. It hurts a lot of people's feelings and it can be confused.
When you told me you were going to get to a billion views, I didn't believe you. But then you explained it was really simple. All you needed was a Russian bot farm, and you could have artificial views into the billion. And I gotta say, it is remarkable.
Crowder's got a billion views. What a pile of crap that is. Only because he's paying Google off it.
Hey, Steven. Congratulations.
Hi, Steven. How are you doing? A billion, 1 billion YouTube views. I'm just sitting down here in my basement bunker.
Thank you so much to everybody. Thank you, Rand Paul. Thank you, Mahmoud El Mahmoud. Thank you, James McKeith. Thank you, Glenn Beck. Thank you, Mark Ripto, Jocko, Jim Norton, all of
Ted
you.
Cruz.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. I already said Ted Cruz.
I said it again.
And during the break, my half-Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, said couldn't get 2 billion.
Yeah.
Really?
Couldn't.
I think we're going to skip it. I think that's why I said it.
Yeah,
we're just going to go to 3.
Just, yeah, lightning pass right there to 45 billion.
Well, we're going to do our best. And by the way, we are also going to do a special live stream live with your tweets when we pass the Young Turk subscribers because they've been. And then afterwards, nice. We'll never talk about them again because you cannot punch down. And this is one thing, too. When we say a billion views in this channel, like I said, it's closer to 2 if you add up Mug Club, the rest of it. This is with one piece of content on YouTube per day. It's not like a lot of these other networks that are doing 50 pieces or 30 pieces. And like, this is, it's incredible. We are so grateful.
Yeah.
And a big part of this, we will say that brings in the most amount of new subscribers here on YouTube because, you know, search results we've talked about, a lot of these algorithms aren't necessarily favorable to us. We've had a lot of problems running our videos as ads. Well, the problem is like, how do we reach new audiences?
Right.
Like, well, people search, Stephen Crowder changed my mind for the longest time.
Doesn't
I think
come
I fixed, didn't show up.
Yeah.
And then we were no longer able to like run videos as ads. So it's just like, how do you reach new people? The thing that does cut through and helps us reach new people more than anything else are what we call sort of super videos. And these are videos where we go on location, like Antifa, we've talked about.
Yeah.
And there are two really ones that stick out. Change My Mind is obviously right. within yeah. the last 3 or 4 years. And then a subsidiary of that, Crowder Confronts, which usually occurred yeah. because someone threatened to kill me and it changed my mind.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So it's
you
two
didn't start the fight.
For one.
Yeah.
Double the Steven. But these super videos, what often happens is they go viral. They sort of become a news story as opposed to yeah. commenting on the news. You know, they became a news story in and of themselves. And that ultimately leads to more people subscribing to the channel. And here's the thing. I appreciate how much everyone out there understands is sometimes if you join Mug Club, we'll have like a week where we maybe miss two shows or
right,
something. Because
yeah.
so usually we'll pre-tape, but sometimes we can't. We just have to run and go do a hidden camera deal right. where we don't have 140-something writers or staff like yeah. Jay Leno has or 100-something like Seth Meyers have. We have 12 people here and I think 15 if yeah. you count part-timers abroad. And so we just have to pack up everything, go out, and tape a super video where we can't do this show and that. And we would never be able to afford to do these super videos if not for you. I mean, to give you an idea, yeah. doing like the Change My Mind you'll see in front of the White House, that's yeah. getting 12 yeah. people to Washington, D.C., several hundred pounds of equipment, making sure that we have security when we get there, mm-hmm. getting travel back, not to mention the editing software, food, hotel, typically for 2 days. I mean, you're talking about tens of thousands of dollars often to do these. And we wouldn't be able to do it if not for Mug Club. And I know it's one of those things that sometimes you don't see because these go up on YouTube. But Mug Club is paying for that. It's paying for us yeah. to reach new people because that cuts through the algorithms. And I can't thank you enough. We've actually shot a few that are in the hopper, and we're planning on doing more of these in the coming coming year. Coronavirus has made it a little bit tough. You know what I'm talking about, Asian Bill.
Yikes.
But
no more China trip.
Let's go right now to a montage of actually top moments from funded by you on location, super videos. Thanks again so much.
Hi, my name is Steven Crowder.
He will not divide us.
He will not divide us.
He will not divide us.
Okay, okay. This is not a bad line.
What are you?
Okay. This is funny, guys.
We're gonna brush it. You know I'm bullshit.
What do you think would happen if we went into a Muslim bakery and asked for a gay wedding cake?
You can write on it, Ben loves Steven forever, and have our hands maybe holding.
Yeah.
Can I get a gun here without a background check?
No.
I thought at gun shows you didn't have to do a background check.
Oh, no.
What you're asking is for somebody to commit a felony.
Was it because of the magazine capacity?
No, look at it.
Yeah, it does look really sinister. Would you be on board with common sense gun reform?
Depends on what that means.
Do you own any firearms?
Shotgun.
Well, sorry.
Welcome to Detroit. We have a nice two-story in the Detroit area. Cozy, rustic.
You guys have papers? I need papers.
He's gonna call ICE, you motherfuckers.
Wait till these hobos get a load of me.
The price of my walls, not a price that you're willing to pay.
Yes, bitch, yes, bitch, yes, bitch, slay.
Are you familiar with the term manspreading? We'll see what women think using our homemade apparatus.
I get why men sit like this.
Yeah?
I'm not shocked by it.
I've decided to go through the socialized Canadian healthcare system to show you exactly what it's really like.
What does that mean? Triage. That means we wait and we get judged by the nurse and decide how important we are.
But there's a private clinic. Would you like to pay?
Wait, hold up. A government employee recommending a private clinic?
Take the knife.
Matt McDonald here with Fox 13 News.
We've been tracking Antifa for a long time. He was just down there at President's Circle, and they were handing out sharp objects to stab people with. Said they had someone coming with an AK. Why did it take two late-night hosts, comedians, to find this out? We took a hidden camera to an abortion clinic in Colorado where late-term abortions have been legal for years to show you exactly what it is that they, we, and you are talking about. This woman was going to end her 32-week, that's 8 months, her 8-month-old baby's life. Hi, I'm Stephanie, with all the frequencies of a feminism.
Chelsea. Oh. I'm Stephanie, and I'm pretty sure I'm pregnant. Yes.
So your test came back positive.
Really?
We wanted to talk with someone about Plan B.
Yeah.
Louder with Crowder. Shout out to them, man. Really nice mug, not cheap mug. Nice mug, man. Louder with Crowder, man. Shout out to them, man.
You need to call security.
Question.
You're gonna have to leave.
I think that it's time to go. Okay. Because
people are triggered. Got it.
Hey, YouTube, what you're about to watch is a new segment we call Change My Mind. Pretty simple. We go out and set up in public and pick a topic, and we actually allow people from other points of view to come up and proactively change my mind.
You are more than welcome to change my mind if you think I'm wrong.
I am open to having my mind changed.
Fetus is literally a parasite. Like, it is sucking the life from a mother.
Yeah.
Every single day. Like, that's literally what happens. That's not even like...
Not a mother, I'm guessing.
Like, whoa. I just found the keys to a city. The beats are big and the lights are pretty.
So why can't we get to the busy where the dreams are in the sky? Would you be willing to, maybe in a follow-up, we could do a segment on this, go with me to a range, shoot for the first time, and purchase a,
I'm
firearm.
Down. Yeah, I'm down.
Good. Hey, right on target. You okay? Yeah. Hey, we grab hands? Is that okay?
You gotta connect it over there.
Okay.
All right, look. This way it's going. There it is.
What?
There it is.
What?
All the way around.
Look at this.
How about that?
Look at this. All different races, genders, the power of dance. Of course, there are always those who aren't so excited to see us.
I think you're a bigot, dude.
Oh. I think y'all are racist.
Steven Crowder. Y'all. I would probably punch him if I saw him.
Just wanted to tell you, you're a white bitch. Whiteness is a cancer and parasitic to society.
All would help it.
They get away with it on this motherfucking campus!
Really?
Yes, they fucking do!
If nobody invited him here, can we ask him to leave this campus? Is this being an angel? Shut the up!
Hey, you ass! Go!
Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen!
Need to respect women, period.
So you should respect women.
I'm sorry, I am a woman, so fuck you.
White people are cancer.
Bye. We want to sit down with people in an ideal scenario and be able to exchange ideas, but when they don't want to, and they're acting like little spoiled brats / domestic terrorists, we've got to make them afraid of somebody.
Hey, kid.
Yeah, you want a piece of me for a long time.
Yourself, you piece of
shit. Hey, how are you, man? Steven Crowder. What's going on?
We can discuss it at a neutral meeting place.
I'm not discussing with people who have made threats against my son and his followers who made threats against my son.
When you threaten violence against someone, part of being a man is taking ownership of your actions, taking responsibility.
This guy's a fascist.
You said you didn't even post this and acted like you didn't know me. I think you're a liar. What did you mean by that? Was it like what you meant with killing members of ICE for $500 a pop?
I mean, I don't recall saying that.
Why would you want to light me on fire?
I never said that.
Yeah, you did.
It's like I'm in Bizarro Land of Lies.
Wow. There is a reckoning.
Wow, yeah. My fun times.
And I do, and we do have to get going here. I do want to let you guys know the promo code is CrowderBillion. You get $20 off. And all of that, by the way, was funded by you. Yep. Like some of those, like you can sort of see the progression. The Muslim bakery was literally a friend acting like he was on his phone.
Right.
Filming. Well, it's like, hey, he took a long time. No, he doesn't.
No, he hasn't said a word, actually.
He doesn't bake the cake. I don't bake penis cake. Why he talk? And we missed a lot of, like, early on, we missed a lot of filming because we didn't have the budget for the equipment.
Right.
So then you can see Change My Mind, Crowder confronts all, you can see the progression. It was all because of Mugclip. Yeah. So we do ask you, because there can be another Vox apocalypse, Crowder Billion, get $20 off. And the Change My Mind thing just stemmed from sitting down and me going like, oh, we have so many good conversations off air.
Right.
Yeah. And we've done plenty of debates on this show on air, by the way. Change My Mind is not a debate. We just said, man, I wish we could just talk with normal people without doing political sort of point scoring in a quadrant view.
Yeah.
And we did not think at this point, every single person who was involved with content when we floated the idea said, there's no way that'll work.
Yeah.
That'll never work. It unedited, long, just people talking. No one will watch this. To the point where I feel lazy when I do it because I'm like, I don't want to do another Change My Mind because I want to do something new. And then you guys obviously want us to do it. So that's, like I've said, I want to provide you with what it is that you want and do some new things.
Yeah.
But I really am grateful. We have everyone here that I've met everyone. They all get to work with the show. Let me ask you, Half Asian Bill, what would you like, what do you think is next? What would you like to see next for this show?
I'd say more of the content that we're already doing, getting more around the country, seeing more of the fans.
Yeah.
I know we've got fans all over the world. I know we were, I think just this week, making fun of the University of Western Australia, and I saw a number of comments of students at the University of Western Australia who were like, dang, man.
I can't afford those carbon offsets.
Hey, you know what? Hey, the fires are down. It's fine. Yeah. We can go to Australia. No, I think doing more of that content and being able to get around the country is the number one thing. More of it would be more exciting for everyone. And I just love the energy and the sense of community that people have to be able to just hear some great viewpoints, some honest feedback, and some hilarious shit.
So there, So there you go. We need enough of you to join so we can get a plane to go to Australia.
Yes.
You know, actually, I'm only half joking because sometimes when we do the live shows, it ends up costing less to rent a plane. We don't get jets, but like we get like a turboprop.
Yeah.
To get all of our team out and all of this equipment, because you're talking about so much to go to campus. So obviously, we don't expect you to pay for a Learjet, but we can travel to Australia if. You know, we can take a week off the show because that's a lot of travel. I think we're going to send actually even Brendan on that flight from Sydney to Buenos Aires with a GPS just to prove that the Earth is not flat. But he doesn't know it yet. He just found out right now.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah, I want to concur, but for another reason, like it gets you an opportunity. Like my favorite memory of everything that's ever been done with this show was when we did the first thing at SMU. What was it? The Halloween Spooktacular? Or I can't remember which one it was.
Right.
But it was the first time and you filled the auditorium, and that was just such a big moment.
I really didn't fill the auditorium.
No, but it happened.
They all filled the auditorium.
They
you
did,
guys made it happen. I mean, there's no way I want to be clear.
Yeah.
There's no way I could have ever done this show that scale, like at SMU and these live shows at school. I had done stand-up before that. I may go back to doing some more stand-up in small clubs. We've talked about this when I have more free time. Could not have done it without this team of people. There's so much that goes into it. What's the insurance rider? Like $1 million just in equipment? We have to be there a day and a half in advance. So that's not false humility. I am so grateful to be able to do that kind of show because it was in here, but I could never make it here.
Right.
And everyone here is
made
it.
And you get to see fans because you deal with a lot of people pushing back on you, right, in life. Like you get us, obviously, but everybody else seems to be trying to attack you in different ways. And so it's great to be around fans, but it's also great for them because they get to be around a bunch of other people that are exactly like them. They're conservative people when it's not popular to be conservative. And so it's great for both that we get to do those live events. So let's get it done at Notre Dame. Let's go there.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, baby.
I know we talked about it. Mary's a long time ago before this show was daily. And I remember there were like 400 people who showed up.
Yeah.
And I thought that was all the people in the world back then. It was just me doing stand up. And some kids showed up. And half the questions at the Q&A were about my time being the brain on Arthur.
At this point, really
didn't
like
exactly
Arthur.
Have the same familiarity.
Filter those out now.
Awesome. Yeah. With my catalog. Well, thank you guys all very much. And we do have to get going. That promo code is Crowder Billion to get $20 off. And, you know, I will say in watching that, there have been some things, obviously, we've created, we're proud of, the intros and the Change My Mind. And that's probably something I'm pretty proud of because I see a lot of other people trying to do the Change My Mind and approaching conversations in that way in real life. And if I can serve to help you with that and help equip you with that in a way that professors have failed you, then I'm grateful. But I was even watching that, you know, that lady at the abortion clinic, we never talked about that. She didn't have that abortion.
Yeah. Really?
She didn't have that abortion.
That's fantastic.
We couldn't show that in the video because we didn't want to. This was actually, it was a real kind of moral dilemma because we were going, well, what's more important is it stopping this abortion that this woman is getting anyway, or is it showcasing the horrors of abortion so that thousands of other people don't abort? And what we did was, with my permission, some of the girls who went in undercover, I said, they knew she was going in like the next week for the abortion. I said, we're going to release this video before then, so don't reach out to her right now. let us release this so we, you know, we can still serve this purpose and get this out to the public. And then I want you to reach out to her.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what happened, but I do know that that woman did not have that abortion. And we also had that girl who we did the Change My Mind with who came back on the show, and then she was pro-life.
Yeah. It's seeing those things like that that really make those the Change My Minds and the super videos kind of more important, you know? It's doing something for the culture war.
The wall, and also when I look back and see that one where I was shooting at the range that I sounded like death warmed over.
Oh, yeah, you were
that's
sick.
Right,
you
a bronchial really infection, pneumonia, all of the above, and I was at a gun range with nothing but gunpowder, and we turned out they couldn't buy.
Though. That's what's great about you, though, is like, even whenever you're down and you're sick or you're really stressed out or there's bigger things going on, you're always really focused and able to do what you need to do. So
we force you to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Coronavirus be damned.
Whip me. I build a Mead and pyramid as well.
There you go.
But
who knew?
And then those girls tried to buy that firearm. You know, they wanted the Walther. And
yeah, that's right.
I will tell you this. We didn't lead them. We let them try Walther, Glocks, different firearms, and they all preferred the Walther. That's why we always just say try the Walther. And then they couldn't purchase it because they weren't 21.
Ah,
and they needed to be 21 for a handgun.
Yep.
But afterwards, they had changed their view completely that you can just purchase a gun without a background check.
Right.
And then I will say, you know, man, I was just seeing kind of Hopper in there. I was like, I kind of tugged at my heartstrings a little bit. And I appreciate, by the way, the support. Like, yeah, I get a lot of pushback. I think a lot of times people focus on haters or they focus on negativity. And you get that when you're in the public sphere, right? You get a lot of people who aim that at you. But it is so far outweighed, I would say, by what we do here, by how many lives that we see we've touched, how much this show means to you guys. And honestly, you mean every bit as much to us. I would say more. To me, when I look at the billion, I go, oh, my gosh, this is what these people are choosing to tune into this. At a time when media is so fractured, at a time where you have a million different options at any given moment. Remember when we thought media was getting too fractured because of cable, because of Dish? Yeah. Where, like, people have like 200 stations.
Wow.
Well, now there's 200 more just in that pause.
Yeah.
We're just created. And the fact that you choose, and one thing too, like people at YouTube, people in these social media consulting companies, they often look at our numbers and they're dumbfounded at the number of people who just come in every day to watch our videos, whether you're a subscriber or not. And so we've been able to survive a lot of these algorithms. It's a changing landscape because of your loyalty. And man, I hope that we've earned it. I hope that we have billions more. And this really means a lot to me. The show. I don't mean the billion views, just the show. Being able to do this, and I will do it as long as I can and my body allows, which, may not be that long because I'm not only on the FBI ISIS kill list, I'm on the premium frequent flyer list.
Yeah.
So thank you, Walther. We appreciate your security help. Promo code is CrowderBillion. We are going to be releasing some super videos here coming up next week. We'll be back to our regular schedule. Thank you so much. I look forward to reading your comments and hearing back from you.
It only takes